Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
An hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be going into a couple of variables with our very special guest. We have Robert Friedman in Virginia with us, and we're going to be talking about his award-winning children's book, Milton's Secret. But more than that, we're also going to be talking about the world of publishing, of which he has had a very, very strong involvement for a number of years. Mr. Friedman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm so nice. I'm so pleased that we're able to interact with you. I know that you've got quite a busy schedule. The world of publishing, would you mind if I talk to you about that for a little bit? Because you've got such an interesting background.
Well, sure.
Now, you have taught university English. You have also been a freelance photographer and a managing editor of a city magazine. You have an MFA in writing from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and you're the president and co-founder of the Donning Company Publishers, and you did all kinds of publications there. You're now the president and co-founder of Hampton Roads Publishing, which started in 1989, and of course, I'm very familiar with them. I've had so many of your authors as guests on my shows. You've published over 1,000 titles in over 34 years while you've been involved in the business. And you pioneered the publication and marketing of the first science fiction trade paperback line, which was called Starblaze Editions, and the first line of graphic novels, the ElfQuest series. And you've had a number of books that have been on the bestseller list, 5 on the New York Times list, and you've had books published in 30 languages around the world. Wow, that's such an accomplishment. What caused you to feel that this was an area of interest that you wanted to really make your life's work oriented towards?
Well, you know, like a lot of things, it's a lot of it had to do with synchronicity and timing and opportunity. And strangely enough, I was working on the City Magazine at the time in 1973. When we investigated some psychics and paranormal phenomena in Virginia Beach, which is where I was living at the time.
Oh, my.
And one of the ladies actually gave me a reading, which I had never, you know, understood or been involved with before. And in the reading, she said, "You will have the opportunity to be involved in international publishing." And of course, I was with the magazine, so I figured it would be, you know, magazine publishing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the opportunity arose, and a friend of mine was working on a pictorial history of Virginia Beach at the time, and he worked at the magazine, and we would have lunch and talk about publishing. And the opportunity presented itself, and we started the business, mainly to do some pictorial histories of cities and counties and states around the country. And that evolved into my interest in metaphysical, spiritual publishing. And, you know, one thing leads to another.
Well, you started a forum in that arena that for its time was really on the leading edge. Was it to you as something that was a little bit scary in going into an arena which really wasn't that comfortable for a lot of people?
Well, you're talking about publishing?
Mm-hmm, in the publishing area, dealing with the metaphysical formats. And I mean, you have wonderful authors like Neil Donald Walsh. You have had Lynn Goddard. I mean, there's the list goes on and on. I've interviewed so many of these wonderful writers, and the storytellers are just terrific. So when you did this initially, because publishing has changed a lot since you've started.
Yes, a whole lot. It's more consolidated in terms of bookstores. And when I started, independent stores were 60-70% of the market. Now they're down to less than 15%. So, and smaller publishers had, I think, a little better chance in those days because people were more willing to take risks, and it was a different world back then.
Very much so. With today's world, because of the internet, and of course there's Amazon.com, there are so many different options due to the electronic world that we are associated with. What is it that you feel people need to be aware of if they want to do publishing? If someone wanted to approach Hampton Roads, for example, they said, gee, I have this wonderful book. What would they have to do? What is it that someone, if they're interested in publishing, because I know many of my listeners have an interest in writing and putting something out there, and they didn't want to self-publish, which has been a real big shift over the years. A lot of people are self-publishing. What would you say to someone that would be interested in doing that?
It's a very difficult question to answer because you have to know, you know, what the book is, what the subject is, what the market is, who the writer is. Nowadays, most publishers look at what they call the platform. You know, what kind of a platform do you have? Do you have a radio show? Do you have an email list? Are you out on the road talking to people, lecturing, doing workshops? But, you know, the bottom line is always, is the book good? Does it have... you know, significance, is it important, is it well written? And it always comes down in the end, I think, to an intuitive decision in publishing, because nobody really knows what's going to sell, and unless it's, you know, you're dealing with an author who's already sold, it's a no-brainer to put a John Grisham book out there. You know that's going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But to take an unknown author with a subject that's not, you know, common, it's a difficult decision. You just you have to put it out there and see what happens. And word of mouth is probably the most significant factor even now for books and films. And you know, a friend of mine who used to own a large company, 35,000 employees, he was the chairman, and he said, you know, if decisions that can be made with numbers and facts can be made at lower levels, but when it gets up to the top level, it's always an intuitive decision.
That's a very honest statement. Lots of people would not want to acknowledge that, but I think that that is a very honest statement because so much in life, you don't have any guarantees. You have, I mean, I've experienced situations with authors that they were extremely famous and their material was horrid. It would no more sell than A Man in the Moon. And I review 400 to 600 books a year. So I see all kinds of material that crosses my desk. And there is that certain something, and a lot of it is just going to be straight intuition on that decision level. What do we think it's going to work? Is this person going to be cooperative? Are they going to be doing different things? So you do have a lot to consider. With the publishing, are there any encouraging words that you would give to someone who is listening to the show right now that really feels like they have something very special? Is there anything you would recommend to an aspiring author to be aware of if they wanted to work with a publisher?
Well, again, that's a, you know, there isn't a simple formula that you can work with. I think everybody should have an internet presence of some sort and do some internet marketing and, you know, make use of the YouTubes and the MySpaces and whatever. And if they're going to self-publish, they need to really use the internet and try to get their book into as many stores as they can. It's a difficult situation because 185,000 books are published in this country every year, and that's probably 500,000 books that are what we call backlist, that are perennial sellers and, you know, hang around for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of product out there, there's a lot of noise, and it's very difficult for anyone to break through that noise, even if it's a good book and even if it's a good subject. And there's a lot of luck involved. There's a lot of timing involved. There's, you know, who you know. That's always a factor in most businesses. And I think authors today need to know more about the distribution systems, the bookstores, how they work. I've always felt that authors, you know, they're kind of right in a vacuum. They don't understand the business, and it affects how, you know, they might write or what they might write. Because, you know, if they write a book that's, there's 27 other books out there that are very similar, the odds of them getting published by a major publisher or even a small publisher is going to be very long, because it's not unique. Even if it's a well-written book, it's a difficult game to play. But I think the Internet is going to be the future of publishing, the Kindle-type devices that Amazon is selling.
Mm-hmm.
And Internet marketing and networking in that sense.
Well, it certainly has changed from the 90s. It has moved forward with such an intensity that the younger generation especially is picking up on it. And you really have to be able to understand the savvy of it. And if you're a working person, you may not have a whole lot of time to sit on a computer. But by golly, if you can team up with somebody that can show you how to use it and how to work it effectively, I agree with you. I think that it's very, very significant. I'd like to ask a question of you, because you're so much involved in the publishing industry. I have your beautiful book here, Milton's Secret, and it's got a wonderful story. But in the 90s, when I came out with my children's book, I remember talking to someone that was very much involved in publishing, and they were all excited because they had picked up an electronic book. And this is something that I had heard about in the 90s, and every once in a while something pops up. And apparently now, portable electronic books are becoming a little bit, not much, but a little bit of a buzzword. Where do you see that going? Do you see that changing the actual book-in-hand situation?
Yeah, I do. I think those Kindle-type devices, and there have been a few in the past, Rocket e-books and things like that, when they get down to the $100 and below cost level,
mm-hmm.
It's going to change the entire book publishing industry, because they're wonderful little devices. I mean, they're like a book. You can hold them, you can read them in the bathroom or in the bed, and you know, it's much cheaper to download an electronic file than it is to cut down forest and make paper and print. So I think, you know, if you just look at Star Trek, you can see where that's going. You know,
mm-hmm.
Little handheld device with has as much information on it as the Library of Congress or something.
It's an incredible shift. And it's something, as I said, I remember hearing about it and people being so excited, but it didn't go anywhere at the time.
Well, I think the devices were too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
People just weren't going to pay $400 or $500 for one of those things. But, you know, it was like VCRs. When they first came out, they were $400 or $500, and then not too many people bought them. But now everybody has one because they're, you know, $100 or less. You can get one for $75.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has a VCR. And these devices are going to go in that direction. It may take a while before it gets to that point. But, you know, it makes so much more sense to download an electronic file, which actually looks like a book page.
Mm-hmm.
And you can backlight it, and you can read it at night, and you can make the type larger so that people who have trouble reading can see it in large format. It has a lot of advantages. You can search it. You can, you know, particularly in academic books, you can search for what you want and go to certain pages and highlight text and remove text. And it's just much more easy to handle, and kids nowadays are used to, you know, cell phones, and they'll read a book on a cell phone. You know, they got the eyes for it,
mm-hmm.
and they're used to computers, and you know, television and that sort of thing. And that, you know, that they'd much rather read a book on a screen than I think they would in print. Of course, the older generation that still likes the feel of that paper and the book in their hands, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's not going to change. But eventually, the younger generation is going to come along, and it's going to. I think the business is going to go almost totally electronic. There'll always be printed books for people who want them, because you can do the, you know, the print on demand type things and print one at a time or 10 at a time.
Yes, because that's changed, too. It used to be you had to order certain volumes. So here we are. Eventually, there will be maybe a little disc that you have in a library. Instead of having your walls filled with books like mine are at this time, you would have a little disc. So we're entering into that era, which is quite a fascinating one. And I remember when the Encyclopedia Britannica, when they came to book shows, and they were no longer selling the encyclopedia as books per se, it was on DVDs,
right,
or CDs at the time. And that to me was just absolutely amazing. And of course, that's the way it went. And again, that was back in the 90s. So it was just, it's just phenomenal the way we've progressed. Well, I wanted to ask you those questions because I think that your being in the industry that so many people do have an awareness of and they're fascinated by, I really appreciate your answering my questions. Milton's Secret. This is such a charming book, and it deals with an issue that I've had conversations with educators on my show about, parents, and that's the subject of bullying with children. And of course, we're entering in, we are in, not entering in, but we are in the holiday season. This would make a great gift for someone that has young children, maybe even a teacher. If you wanted to gift a teacher a book, this would be just great because she could share it with her students. Eckhart Tolle is a spiritual teacher that participated in putting this book together with you. How did the two of you decide that you were going to put together Milton's Secret?
Well, it wasn't so much the two of us. I had actually met Constance Kello, who was his original publisher. She has a small company in Vancouver, Canada, called Namaste Publishing. And she knew Eckhart, and Eckhart approached her one day. I think they were in a yoga class or someplace, and just out of the blue, he said, "You're going to publish my book." And she wasn't a publisher. She was a housewife, you know, some basic... she was educated, very well educated, and she decided to do it. And she actually had the book, you know, printed and published, even though she had no distribution and not much knowledge of the business. But she did get the book out there and got it into some stores, and it started to take off with word of mouth. This was called The Power of Now, the first book that Eckhart wrote. And I met her and... at a book expo, we were sitting next to each other. That's that synchronicity thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to be sitting next to each other at an awards dinner at a book expo. And we started talking, got to know each other a little bit. And about a year later, I suggested that, you know, perhaps Eckhart would like to have some of his principles about living in the now put into a children's book, into a format that children could understand the principle. And he loved the idea because he'd always wanted to do that, but he said he couldn't write children's books. So Constance and I decided to co-publish, and you know, we would get a writer, and you know, whoever, he could approve it and do whatever he wanted with the story. And I decided to write it myself, just, you know, out of, again, one of those things that you say, well, why not? You know, I'll give it a shot, and if they don't like it, we'll find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with the major characters and the spine of the story, and Eckhart and Constance kind of did their magic to it, and we went back and forth for 6 or 8 months, and finally we got it finalized and illustrated by Frank Riccio, the same illustrator who did Neil Donald Walsh's 2 children's books, The Little Soul and the Sun and The Little Soul and the Earth. which he's a wonderful illustrator. Actually lives here in Charlottesville. So that's how that came about.
It was, well,
just
this
basically
book.
The story about mm-hmm. bullying was really the story was to illustrate, you know, the primary principle of Eckhart's books is that, you know, if you live in the present instead of the past or the future, which the ego loves to live in, then you're going to be a lot happier and more enlightened being if you can just stay in the now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the book was called The Power of Now.
What I enjoyed about the book is that there's this wonderful association with his grandpa. And grandpa is the one that helps him see how he can deal with the challenge of a bully. You've just got so many different parts to the story. And it reads so well because it allows that identification both through the art as well as through the written word. An identification process that a child really enjoys. And they can empathize with what Milton is going through because they've either experienced it themselves or they've seen it happen. And maybe they're afraid that they're going to be the one that's picked on.
Right. It's a pretty, bullying is a very topical problem, but it's been around for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Even my father was bullied, and back in he was going to school, back in the 20s. So it's not an unusual situation, but we did that because we wanted to show that Milton, who was a very happy boy, and all of a sudden he gets bullied at school, and he keeps going over and over in his mind, that traumatic event, and then he becomes fearful of going back to school, which is in the future, because he's afraid he's going to get bullied again. So his grandfather helps him to focus about how to live in the now and not worry about the past or the future. And it's a little more complicated than that, but that was the basic spine of the story, which was really there more to illustrate the principles of the power of now. It's not a complete story about bullying, about what you do and, that kind of thing. It's more, although Milton does have a solution and does, in the end, he deals with it through his grandfather's wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And he learns. It's part of, I think, a maturation process as we're growing up. We're always going to have challenges. And the story presents it, and he meets a wonderful lady. Because as he's running away from the bully, he ends up going into an ice cream shop and he meets this very special lady that relates to him about how to be aware of the light inside of himself. The book is absolutely charming. And what is the age range for your book?
Well, we say it's 4 to 8, but we're getting a lot of feedback that, even older kids love it and the parents who read it to their kids love it. So I think it has some appeal to just about everybody, but it's really meant to be read to a child or maybe some of the early readers. They can read it themselves, but with their parents and discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that, might happen to them down the road, or certainly they know people, their friends who've gone through something like that.
Oh, yes. And I think the key is that Milton, too, reaches a point where he's thinking for himself. And that is very important. He realizes that he can make some choices, and he looks at things with a different perspective because of the conversations with his grandfather. It's a wonderful book that enforces the feeling of family, the feeling of being able to talk to people, don't keep things inside of you, put them out there so you can get the help that you need. And don't be afraid to discuss your fears, because there are ways of working with the fears, and sometimes you have to grow into that understanding through various experiences. The illustration is beautiful. Now, I know that it's on Amazon.com, and Hampton Roads is the publishing house for it. And is there going to be Anything else that we should know? Because here we are close to Christmas. There may be some teachers out there that would like to have something wonderful in their school classrooms that they could share with their students. It is multicultural. It is a book that appeals to the girls as well as the boys. And even though Milton is the focus character, it just is so appropriate for children, as you said, from 4 to 8 and even older. Is this going to be also offered on in an audio book?
It's possible. It hasn't been. It hasn't been. Those rights haven't been sold yet. But we have sold an option to put it into an actual live-action film, which is going to be done by Peace Arch Entertainment in Los Angeles.
Oh, how fabulous!
It's not going to be a theatrical film. It's going to be what they call a straight-to-DVD live-action, with characters and
mm-hmm.
what have you. And they sell it in the Walmarts and the Targets and, you know, those places. And they also would probably go on cable TV, some of the cable stations.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, so this is going to be
out. We're planning a whole series of Miltons. Hopefully we'll do more than one.
Oh, that's wonderful. So this is the beginning of the series.
Yes, we hope it'll continue. Both in the film area, that they intend to make several films, perhaps many as 8 or 9, and they're going to get scriptwriters and take the story, and we're going to keep going with the story with Milton and his life, and try to illustrate different things from Eckhart's books, and so hopefully it'll become a staple of the children's market.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful aspiration. Well, it could easily become one because
of
the topic.
It's already been sold into Dutch and German and Chinese and Portuguese, so they're working on that as well in different languages.
Well,
and a lot of this is because of Eckhart.
Mm-hmm.
Eckhart's success, and since he was chosen as a book club selection back in January by Oprah. And by the way, that became the fastest-selling book club selection she ever had in her history.
Wow.
It's called New Earth. It was his second major book. And that book is in 37 languages now. It's a real phenomenon. It sold about 10 million copies.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, here you've got this wonderful accomplishment with Eckhart Tolle. You, Robert Friedman, Milton's Secret, An Adventure of Discovery Through When, and the Power of Now. And it's going to empower the children that listen to it and enable them to realize many things about themselves. This is just terrific. Now, I know they can go to Hampton Roads and look up something on it, and they can get it at Amazon and any of the major bookstores. They can order it. And it will be just in time for Christmas. And don't forget those teachers out there that maybe this would be something to add to their library that they want to share with their students. I want to thank you, Robert, for being my guest today.
You're very welcome. It was nice to be here. Nice to talk with you.
It's been a pleasure interacting with you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Now, don't forget, you can go to Hampton Roads Publishing, go to their website, or you can go to Amazon.com, finding Milton's Secret. This is a book that's for ages 4 to 8 and then older. It's a great thing to read together as a family, and the illustrations are wonderful. Milton's Secret, great again for the holidays. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. 800-878-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227 is the number, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756. Now, it's really simple. If you have never done this before, and if you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted that you were able to join me today. But what I would say to you is just know all I need is your first name or initial. I'm an information resource. I would be delighted to light up your life with a little insight. And the phone lines are now open and available for you. Now, I do want to, again, make the statement. This may sound a little repetitious, but we have been having a major problem with the server, with our electronic system. And so if you have gotten a whole bunch of copies of my email newsletter, believe me, there's nothing I did to do this. There is something that is a glitch in the server system. They have no clue why it's happened and why it happened to me. The gremlins have been at it. But there has been this loop, and it just constantly is sending out stuff over and over and over and over again. So we're hoping to have it remedied by tomorrow. And for those of you that maybe thought you were going to drown in Donna Sebo's newsletter because of all the stuff that's up there, just hit the delete button. That's all you need to do and get rid of it. But it is being totally done electronically, over which I have no control. So I wanted to let you know about that and know that let you know that we are working on it, and the server has not yet figured out, the technicians haven't figured out what it is that's activating this. But it is going on, and it's something until they fix it, we are just stuck with the situation. So, again, please accept my apologies, and as soon as we can get this stopped, we are going to do that. Also, I wanted to let you know on the 13th, which is a Saturday, I'm going to be appearing, for those of you who are listening from the Tacoma area, I'm going to be appearing at the Dickens Festival, which is in Stadium, the Stadium area in downtown Tacoma. And I'll be appearing at the King's Bookstore. Now, this is a wonderful family event. I've been invited back to participate in this. And from 11 to 4, I'll be at the King's Bookstore, and I'll be doing many readings. And then part of the proceeds will be going towards a home called the New Phoebe House. And those proceeds will be going in, part of them will be going in towards the support of that particular facility that gives people an opportunity when they're having difficult times to have a safe place to stay. So again, that's December the 13th, and you can go into my website, check out my newsletter, and find out all the information you want to find out regarding all of the various activities that are going on. And then for those of you that want to be fit and fabulous for 2009, you've heard Teresa's ad, and she's going to be a guest this month, as usual, on the show. But let me tell you, we've got 3 free gifts worth over $100 each to 3 lucky listeners. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to send me an email, because your name and email is going to be going into our email pot, and we'll be having a drawing before the end of the year. When you send me an email, be sure to put in the Donna Sebo Show in the subject line and DSS, the Donna Sebo Show, that's the abbreviation, 30. And then that way I'll be able to identify it so that I can know that that email is relating specifically to the contest. And we're going to have three lucky winners that will be able to receive those packages. What a great way to begin a new year knowing that you can be fit and fabulous in 2009. Now, the email to send it to, I'm going to give you two because we're having the electronic problems right now. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, or send it to a backup address that I have for emergencies like I'm going through, cclassics@juno.com. That's cclassics@juno.com. And do that, and then one way or the other, I'll get it, and then we'll be able to put you in, again, the pot to win one of those three wonderful gifts that Teresa is giving away through this show. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, here's the lineup we have for next week. We've got a wonderful array of guests. PMH Atwater is going to be with me on Monday. We're going to be talking about children and their near-death experiences. And then Neil Donald Walsh is going to be my guest on Tuesday. We mentioned him in the first half of the interview today. We're going to be talking about conversations with God. This is its 10th anniversary, so they've got a special edition that has come out. Then we're going to be traveling to France to talk to Robert V. Camuto. We're going to be talking about wine. The book is titled Corkscrewed, Adventures in the New French Wine Country. So for those of you that are wine connoisseurs, I think you will really enjoy it. And then Ron Clancy, who's been a guest on my show just about every year, he has a wonderful arrangement of American Christmas classics, best love Christmas carols, and we've got a lot of history and stories behind all of them, so we're going to be sharing that with you as well. And then Christmas Through the Decades with Bob Brenner. This is a marvelous publication. So we're going to be touching and waxing nostalgic about the holidays, the history about it, how things have evolved, and what caused certain patternings to evolve with the holidays that we so often enjoy today. So all of that is the lineup for next week. And just know that you can check in at BBS anytime or on my website to find out who the guests are going to be on the program. You can go into bbsradio.com and go into where the Donna Sebo Show listing is, or you can go to my website at Delphi International and go into my newsletter, and also we have a calendar posted, and there's information that is there as well. So that is going to be all available to you. Give me a buzz again if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a story with you today about a boy, and he was so ugly, and his appearance was so bad that he was always tormented by his schoolmates. We were talking about the children's book earlier, about bullying. Well, what happened is that this little boy turned to reading in order to get away from the bullying that he was experiencing. Now, he matured. He grew up. When he turned 18, he decided he was going to go to work as a bricklayer. And after doing that for a while, he said, "This isn't for me." And he made the decision that he wanted to be a playwright instead. So he chose a brand new path in his life, and Queen Elizabeth I ended up honoring him and decorating him with medals, and he was also decorated by a King James. His name, he was Ben Jonson. He's considered one of the most brilliant playwrights in England's history. Oliver Goldsmith was a son of a poor preacher. He was considered to be a sensitive but a very depressing child. Actually, the word morbid was used to describe him. The schoolmaster that saw him on a regular basis labeled him a stupid blockhead. Now, Oliver Goldsmith went on to get a college degree, but he graduated at the very bottom of his class. Nobody wanted to accept him as a preacher, He tried law, was rejected there. And he then borrowed a suit of clothes to take an examination to be an assistant in a hospital and failed at that as well. Now, Oliver Goldsmith was very poor, frequently was sick, and once even pawned his clothes for food. But there was something he wanted more than anything else in the world to do, and that was to write. So, he made a change. In the end, he became very much recognized for his writing. In fact, he is ranked among the greatest writers of all time. Life presents challenges for you. You can run away from them, or you can stand up to them and take time to recognize what means the most to you. Now, in this hour, we've been focusing on publishing and writing and talking about children's books, and these two illustrations are related to very famous writers. But the essence of importance here is the fact that each of these individuals started out with a lot of difficulties, started out with challenges. Oliver Goldsmith being told he was stupid, a blockhead, yet he ends up going on to college. Now, he wasn't the honor student, but he still went on. He persevered, and in doing that, the difference is, in his persevering, he was able to rise above the commonplace. And that is something we need to remember. If you have a passion, if there is something that you absolutely love to do, let's say you're an artist, and you want to be more than anything else involved in art. So that's what you do. But you have what's called the starving artist syndrome, and that's very discouraging to you. And you say, oh, gee whiz, I'll never make it. But you may be lucky enough, as one young woman was, to find that you have a knack at expressing your art in something that's very unusual. And the young woman I'm thinking of now is very wealthy. She's very, very happy with her life. And she does flowers on cakes. She started off by accident because of a friend of hers that couldn't afford to go out and buy a cake for a child's birthday party. So it was a little girl, and she offered to do the cake for her friend. It was so magnificent, she used all of her artistic merit in putting this beautiful cake together, that all the mothers that attended the birthday party with their children wanted to have a card from her so she could make a cake for them. Today, this woman charges over $10,000 for specialty cakes that she makes. She said, I never in a million years would have ever dreamt that I would find joy in creating the passion I had for flowers and for nature on cakes. She said, I'm happy as I can be. These are things we need to remember. So don't be afraid to step out of the box once in a while and ask yourself, how else could I use my talents? What are some options? And let the universe show you that there's more than one way for you to be who you are, with integrity, with purpose, and to have value, and to make a very good living at doing what you love to do. It's amazing. I've seen it happen over and over again. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. When we come back, we'll be talking about Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, your winter horoscope. Stay tuned.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Okay, here we go. For those of you under the sign of Cancer, we're going to cover Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. This is always so much fun because it's just light material that I just think is fun to listen to. Now, if you're born under the sign of Cancer, this month of December, well, I think you're going to be able to get through this holiday season without a whole bunch of stress. You're really going to enjoy yourself. And you just need to know, just be who you are. Relax, have fun. You don't have to go out and mimic Joneses or anybody else. Just enjoy the people that you're putting yourself in the company of and have a good time. It doesn't have to cost you a whole bunch of money. You can just have a wonderful time. And you are going to find that there's some individuals close to you that are going to want to open up to you and are going to want to really communicate with you more because of the relaxed feel you have about the season. And it's really going to mean a lot to you. It's going to be very special. Now, January, wow, your creativity is really coming together, but you're also going to be pretty practical with your budget because you're going to want to do something about a nest egg. This is a time when you're going to start thinking it through, and you're going to want to really have a plan because there are some very special objectives that you want. Whether it's a new car, investing in property, whatever it might be, you're going to want to focus on it and really get clear in your intention. And then in February, you're going to find people just complimenting you. It's as if you have this level of self-esteem and confidence that is going to just exude from you, and there are some brighter career prospects that are going to be coming your way if you're open and receptive for them. So you are going to find you are coming together as an individual very, very nicely, and it just feels so good that you're going to want to share that feel-good feeling with everybody that you meet. Leo, yes, those exciting individuals that love being up front. Well, December is really the time of new beginnings for you. If you've had a tough year, if you've had a challenging year, those of you under the sign of Leo, just know that you've got new beginnings right now that are happening during this month of December, and you are going to be surprised at how you are going to be able to put together pieces of puzzles that you haven't been able to figure out of concern. You're going to be able to put them together and start zapping everything into place the way it's supposed to be. January, clear focus, no nonsense with you. You're going to have your eye on what it is that means the most, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. You're going to have it together, and you're going to say, I don't have to stress over this. I just have to know and be clear about what I need to take care of and do. And by golly, it is going to take you places. Because when February rolls around, you're not going to hesitate to go out and do whatever it takes to get to where you want to be. You're going to be willing to make that commitment. You're going to work with your own personal map strategy, and travel may very well be in that strategy for success on whatever level you are aiming for. So be open for those seminars and for those classes that are going to enable you to empower yourself in a way and manner that's going to make you just do exactly what you want to do, be very supportive of you. And then let's go to the Virgos. Yes, you very practical souls, you. You love your home, and during the month of December, home, being with people that are significant to you, you are going to find whatever you really want, that's where you need to spend your time. Then, and if home is where it is, that's what you do. And you've got so many things working out favorably for you. December is going to be a very stable month for Virgos. January, when it starts off, it's going to seem a little bit quiet. But by golly, after the 5th of January, things are going to start moving for you too, and you're just going to be putting one foot right in front of the other to get to where you want to go. And then in February, you may find that if there's someone close to you that's been looking for a job, you're going to be very supportive of them. They're going to be finding what they want. And you are not going to be too concerned about money because you're the practical person. You're not afraid of dealing with details and with whatever needs to be worked with or handled. So you're going to put things in their right perspective. And that is very, very good. So for those of you under the sign of Virgo, this is great. And oh, by the way, if you're a Virgo, being on a diet during December, for some reason it's going to work for you. I don't know why, but you're not going to be tempted by all the goodies. You're going to find yourself able to stay on that food program if you're deciding that you want to follow one, and there's not going to be any guilt trip about it at all. You're really going to do it, and it's going to be done with very little stress. Well, I know we're just about out of time here, and I don't know about you, but man, sometimes with the holidays, you're eating out all the time. You have friends inviting you over for dinner, and you go, you know what, I just wish I could have something simple that's flavorful. Well, how about if you've got any turkey leftovers or any chicken leftovers from Thanksgiving, and who doesn't if you're entertaining, how about an Asian turkey and dumpling soup? It just really is so sweet, simple, easy to do. Let me just give you a quick recipe here, because you could put this in a crock pot if you want. And add your dumplings, you know, maybe later on if that's what you wanted to do. You could have the soup just simmering so it's nice and hot when you come in from the cold temps. The temps are really dropping here at home in the Pacific Northwest. Now, this is what you need. You need a tablespoon of oil. You need two carrots. You want to diagonally cut them into, you know, thin slices. Use your Cuisinart if you got one. That'll slice it nice and thinly. You need 3 tablespoons of finely chopped peeled fresh ginger. It's just about a 2-inch piece. And then you need 1/2 teaspoon of Chinese 5-spice powder. You can get that at any grocery store. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 2 cups of shredded cooked turkey. You could use actually any kind of meat, but let's just use turkey as an example. 4 ounces of snow peas. 1.5 cups. And you want to take those snow peas and you want to cut them in half. And then 3 cans of fat-free, lower-sodium chicken broth. And then a package, and you get this in your freezer, a section of your store, 13 ounces of frozen dumplings, which is about 12 dumplings, and then 2 cups of packaged coleslaw mix or finely shredded green cabbage. That's easy enough. You can buy it pre-shredded, or you can cut it up yourself. And then 2 scallions, very thinly sliced. Now, this is how simple this is. So good and so simple. You have a large pot. Large crock pot would do wonderfully. Put your oil in over medium-high heat. Add your carrots, your ginger, your 5-spice powder and your salt, and want to cook, stirring it frequently until the carrots begin to soften a little bit, and the ginger is really fragrant. You can smell it. It's just wonderful. That's going to take about 3 to 5 minutes. Then you add your turkey, your snow peas, cook them occasionally, about a minute. That's all it takes. Then you put in your chicken broth, bring it to a boil, then reduce your heat to medium-low. Now, as I said, you can fix it on the top of the stove. You can throw everything in the crock pot, and it'll turn out wonderfully. And you stir it occasionally until the flavors are blended, about 20 minutes. You add your dumplings, cook the dumplings, stirring them gently, and it'll take about 5 minutes to cook those dumplings. Remove them from your heat, stir in your coleslaw and your sliced scallions, and it's ready to go. Perfect! It's a full meal in and of itself. Light, easy on the waistline, but more than that, it's going to taste good. And, of course, you can add a little soy sauce if you want to, if that's what you like to add to it. Real easy. Well, we're out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I know you're out there doing holiday shopping, visiting with friends and family. Have a wonderful time. But do be wise. Don't be in such a hurry. Give yourself plenty of time to get wherever you want to go. You don't need to be in a rush. Take your time, enjoy, and savor this fabulous holiday season. We want to see you back here next week. Same time, same place, right here at the BBSRadio.com, the Donna Sebo Show on Station 1. See you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.